morning. A tag preach is when one person gets a scripture, only one, and they can study it for a few days. Actually, Sam's only had 2 days to study it. And then the next people come up and they don't know what they're going to come up. That's okay. On what? So you will hear me say stop. And when I hear a key word or a word that I think they can move on from, the next one will get up and preach on that word. And the whole emphasis we're doing this is to activate them in the things of the Spirit and the Word. The whole year, our core focus, especially in cell groups and the life of the church, is to activate. Grant them some grace. 4 minutes is a long, or 5 minutes, some of them might be going, is a long time to talk when you're off the cuff. Amen? 5 minutes can be a lot. You can say a lot of words in 5 minutes. So, we're going to do that this morning. But we're going to pray before they do that, because, you know, it's all right for me. I come up here most weeks. I can be off the cuff. It's easy for me. But when you haven't done it before, it can be quite daunting. So when they look at you, smile, right? Don't frown, don't scratch your head, don't bite your nails. Smile. Encourage them. You can say, good job, well done, awesome. That's a great job. We can encourage them. Amen? Can we do that? I'll tell you a little testimony. I was at this church one day, marrying this couple. Quite a different church. And women sat one side, men sat the other. And for 3 hours it went before I even got up there. At least 3 hours. I forgot what I was there for eventually. And I eventually got up. And I looked at them and I says, you can go and see your wife at the other side and you can go and say hello. I shouldn't have done that, but I did. And I said to them, I said this. I was actually joking. I said, this ain't a funeral, it's a wedding. And I said, you're allowed to smile. You're actually allowed to be happy at a wedding. And all of a sudden, something broke. And they were happy and jovial. And so this morning, we're allowed to be happy. We're actually allowed to smile. Amen? So we're going to start this morning. There'll be Sam starting off. Then there'll be Kenneth. Then there'll be Carmen. Then there'll be Albert. Then there'll be me to wrap it up. I stop me. And no one else is allowed to say stop. There's only one person in my life that can say stop. That's my wife. Amen. So, can we just give a great big hand for young Sam this morning? The reason God's activating these people is because they've got a mantle on their life and a mandate. Amen? And first of all, what he does, he allows that to happen in that place that they're loved. Because it's a safe place. This is a safe place. Amen? For all these people. Doesn't matter what they say, it's a safe place. Amen? So we're going to pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you guide them by your Spirit. We thank you, Father, above all, that everything we say, you bring glory to your name. That, Lord, something is activated in their spirit, man. That, Lord, they're going to fulfill their great commission and their mission that you've designed for them in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, it's not he who speaks, but the Spirit of you who speaks through him. So, Lord, give us the ears to hear. Above all, Lord, let our hearts be supple and soft to receive the seed that you want to scatter in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen.
All right. The verse we got given was 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it says, therefore anyone in Christ, I knew this was going to happen, I was like freaking out that I'll forget it. Alright, it says, therefore anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Yeah. So, as I've been trying to memorize that verse, because I knew I would forget it, there was one word that kept popping up, and that was creation. And it was like, what is creation? And and I was looking into it, and it kept coming up. Creation is something that God created. So, you know, when it says the new creation is here, it's the new God being is here. So, you know, it's something that when we become born again, it's you're moving into a new creation. So, and it's a gift that we've been given, that, you know, we have someone there by our side. And another verse that, you know, kept coming to mind is, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. And it's actually quite funny. I was thinking about, you know, how, you know, it's so easily said, like the verse is so easily said, but it's how hard is it to actually put that into practice? And I was speaking to Julian just before church, and we were chatting about work and, you know, how, you know, times are quite tough out there at the moment, you know, with business and, you know, and he said to me, and he doesn't know how he does it. Well, he does know how he does it because he's got God with him, but, you know, all these other mobs are closing down and, you know, it's really quite hard. And he said, you know, he's the only reason why I get through. And it's funny because the exact same story I had with my brother probably about a year ago. And, you know, we're just chatting and he said, I don't know how people actually run their own businesses and get through life without having Christ there. Because I know I've sat there before and you know, you just feel like crawling up, sitting in the corner and, you know, crying. You're like, how am I going to get through this, you know? And, but he always finds a way. And, you know, you just, it's so easy to go through life and forget about him, that he's there, you know? And I was thinking there's 1,440 minutes in a day. And, you know, that's a lot of minutes. And, you know, but you can get so tied up in life and so busy that you'll forget about 2 minutes just to spend with him and, you know, hand your situation to over him and thank him for the day and thank him, you know, for life and the family you have. And it's just, I think it's a bit shameful in a way that you can forget about that for the sacrifice he gave for us, and you can forget that, you know, that it's only 2 minutes out of your day. Yeah. So I know it's probably something for everyone to think about, you know, as you're going through life, and just to spend that time as well, you know, and not lean on your own understanding and hand your situations over to Christ, because it will make the world of difference. Because, I mean, I've seen it in my business, and Julian was saying to me, you know, he'll be praying and just, you know, handing the situation over. Next minute he'll get into work and he'll have emails, yeah, phone calls, I need this done, you know, and it's just, it's crazy because, as I say, I don't know how you do it without him. Yeah. Because it's, you know, keep going, jeez. How many minutes? but yeah, I know it's something that I think you kind of need to train yourself into and just keep working, and because it is never easy, you know. We all get tied up in life.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's something, you know, getting into the Word and reading the Bible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that I struggle with daily as well, and that's something I think that, you know, will help you along the journey. So, I just got to keep going and keep talking and, you know, keep pretending I know what I'm talking about, but, but, yeah, I guess, you know, it's not easy, you know, the journey, your Christian walk isn't easy, and it's something that, maybe isn't talked a whole lot about. When you, especially for new Christians that come into it, it's all this, you know, this amazing experience when you first meet Christ, but.
Well done, Sonny.
I thought you guys were clapping for me, but you're saying what I'm saying. Awesome experience when you first meet Christ. All right. So when we get born again, that's fantastic. I mean, life changing. It's a new creation. That's what happens, right? I think probably the first thing that comes to my mind, obviously, is vision. So when you first become a Christian, you're starting here and the end game is here. And we know the end game is heaven. But if we're just focusing on getting to heaven and that's it, then we're basically just living to die, all right? So I think what we need to focus on more is our vision and what happens day to day, the milestones along the way, how we get through this trial, how we get through this tribulation, how we can help this person in this way to help them get through their trials and tribulations. So it's all well and good having this end game of going to heaven. That's going to be great, I'm sure. But in the meantime, we've got a fair bit of life to live, I hope. So some more than others, hey? Last time I was speaking was actually at a funeral, so I was quite apt. My nana's funeral. Anyway, what was that? Vision. So, living your life, yeah. So I think one thing that we can do, encourage ourselves, when we might not have this ideal vision, we might not know exactly where we're going in the future, but if when we're reading our Bible, when we're praying, we're focusing on God, then we understand that throughout our lives there's going to be trials, there's going to be tribulations, and if we're just focusing on getting to heaven, then that trial and tribulation we might not be able to learn from. Now, if we're not learning, then we're not going to be able to teach anyone else. So I think that's one really critical aspect of Christianity, is learning so we can help others. And that helping others can actually be determined. That's a sacrifice, you know, because unfortunately, with this whole Christianity thing, you're not always going to be able to do what you want to do. All right, so that's something that we also need to learn along that way. We're going to be selfish in some parts. We're going to want to do something that's going to benefit me because I'm the most important in the world. And unfortunately, God says, "No, no, no, sorry. I'll stop you right there. Trial, Brucey, here's a tribulation for thinking like that." All right. So it's up to us. We have to make a decision. Do we go into the corner with Sammy and tap him on the back and say, "I'm with you, brother. This is tough," or do we say, "You know what, God, you've got me through this. You know, I don't have to look to the left or to the right because I know that at the end of the line, I've got you, and I've got salvation." What else we got, Dad? Okay. Oh yeah, that was a good one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's pretty good. Just quickly, while I've got the microphone, I also want to just talk on honour for just 2 seconds because I didn't plan it, but yesterday I moved house and we've been in that house for 10 years and my dad actually built it, so I wanted to honour my dad. So it's important to me. I don't know why I'm getting emotional. I cry heaps of that weird stuff. That's something you probably don't know about me. Maria's laughing at me. You're supposed to be loving me, eh? Where's the cuddles? But I think honour is important because one thing, obviously we need to honour God. That means give weight to what he says. That means in the Bible, take heed of the Bible, of the scripture, and not just read it and say, "Yeah, cool," but actually do what it says. When it says you need a sacrifice in this, when it says I want you to tithe this, when it says I need you to give up this, it means we actually have to do it. So, yeah, I just want to also thank you to the guys that helped us move. That was super helpful. I was honouring you. I thought that would get me through a minute. But, no, I think it's in all seriousness, honouring God and our vision, I think they actually are tied because we need to have honour, like I said before. That means focusing on what we know he has given us, the things he's given us in our lives, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's material possessions. We need to honour God in that, and that means...
Well done, Kenny. That was really good. So, honouring God. There are a few ways we can actually honor God. We can honor God through our lives. We can honor God in our doings. I'm actually quite lost because honoring is a subject that I don't really know how to talk about. Oh, I'll turn it to my band. Okay. Honor. The first thing I think of when I think of honor, I've been married for almost 14 years. And thank you, Jesus. I actually have realized how much honor is a big weight in marriage. And us as Christians, we have to look at it as when we get into relationship with God and give our lives to Christ, is that we have to honor God like we honor our husbands for those that are married. And for those that aren't married, you have to honor your parents like you honor God. And I think honor has a very big weight. Honor comes with respect. It actually comes to love as well. Our honor actually opens up a lot of doors for us to show to our husband and to our fathers what honor is. Honoring. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Oh my gosh. You know, we did this on Wednesday, right? And I was so nervous. I was sitting there and all of a sudden Kenny said a word and he's like, I'm so nervous. And the moment he said that, I was like, I was not nervous anymore. I was like, oh, I'm not the only one in this boat. So I was like, and it was just really good on Wednesday. And now that we come here and everyone's, how many pair of eyes are looking at us? It's like, I'm like nervous. I am in a loving place. Okay, so honor. I'm going to bend it towards love. Okay, so love covers a multitude of sins. Actually, honor does. When you're honoring someone, it actually covers them at the same time, same that love does. And I believe that as we love on people, as we show them the love that we have in Christ, everything has to be done in Christ, because I'll be honest with you, the love walk is not very easy at all. It's actually, I think, is the toughest walk that you could do, because love actually resembles God. I think it says in John, 1 John, that God is love. And I really do believe that once God tests and trials you in the area of love, that there are all these ugly things that start to appear in your life that God wants to chafe off you. And it's actually not very attractive at all. In fact, it's quite painful. Love is actually a very painful walk, and I didn't enjoy it at all, and I'm not enjoying it at all, but I know it's a part of life. I know it's a part of journey that we have with God. And I do believe that as we walk in Christ, we start producing fruit, and that when we go through tests and we go through trials in life, that He will get us through it, because our focus is on God. Because we honor Him so much through that. We actually love Him so much through that, that we just say, okay, God, I sacrificially lay down my life just for You. Because I know at the end of the road, there is a bigger picture and a bigger plan for my purpose and for my plan. So I'm just going to lay it all down there, because I have tried. Trust me, I have tried doing it my way. I have tried wrestling. And for those that don't know me, I'm just going to tell you a little secret about me that I used to be really stubborn, believe it or not. I was very stubborn, headstrong and stubborn. And when it came down to it, if I really wanted my way, I'm going to dig my heels into the ground and I'll get... Oh, come on, David, you should know this about me. Thanks, honey. Thanks for covering me. So I'm so headstrong and so stubborn, and I try to do life. I try to do the tests and the trials that God has brought in front of me my way. And I'll tell you one thing, it did not work at all. In fact, I actually ended up becoming one of those type of people that I'm trying to level this concrete pad. And instead of leveling it, I'm stomping on it. And the more I stomp on it, because I want to do it my way, I sink deeper into the concrete. And next thing you know, you kind of find yourself, oh my gosh, God, how did I get here? And He's like, well, you have been kind of stubborn. I'm like, me? No, not at all. And He's like, but you can't work in works. You've got to work in Me and abide in Me and lean on Me in order for you to kind of get through this. And so, through the word called submission, I just love that word, submission, because that means it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So in order for submission to come into my life, I had to literally let go of my stubbornness, I had to let go of my pride, I had to let go of my strong will, I had to let go of my works, because at the end of the day, all that stuff that you think is going to work for your life, it doesn't work. The tools that God gives you in life is on your belt. And not just that, we are armoured every day with God's armour. We have the shield of faith, we've got the breastplate of righteousness, we've got the helmet of truth. You know the whole covering that we get. That's what we need to lean on. And the only way you can actually get through life is through truth. You can only get, that's the only way. If you're true to yourself, if you say, you know what, and this is a realisation I had to come to myself, I was like, you know what, God, okay, Yeah, I am stubborn. Yeah, I acknowledge that I'm stubborn. Yeah, I am. Yeah, I do have pride because I want to do it my way. And I want to get all the glory. But how do I separate that from this? Because what I got taught when I was young was you got to work at something. I mean, you got to work at it. You want to get to know God, you got to work at it. There is no way in the world that there was this thing called grace.
Grace. Come on. Yep. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. So that's a really big one for all of us, I think. You know, we've got nothing that we can present before God to say, God, I deserve your blessing, or I deserve anything. It's for by grace we've been saved through faith. And that can be a struggle, and it also can be liberating, because you know, we can find out the hard way and try to come to God and think that we deserve something, that, you know, God, I've been serving you, I've been doing this, and I've been there where I had a big go at God, saying, look, I've been doing this, look, what about them? Like, you know, like, I've been striving so hard, I've been trying so hard, and I had a big shouting match with the Lord once, and I didn't hear a thing. And then that was even more frustrating. But I'm learning that I come to God by the blood of Jesus. And that's so liberating as well, you know. I come to Him and I'm clothed in His righteousness, and I enter His courts because I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. And I can come boldly before the throne of grace and receive help in time of need because of what Jesus has done for me. He's my advocate. He's my advocate before the Father. So whatever the enemy is trying to accuse me of, the enemy accuses the brethren before our God day and night, but he's been cast down, and we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And just so thankful for that every one of us, you know, and we're all going through a journey. It's actually really good to hear everyone's got a story. Everyone's, you know, God's working in all of our lives, and it's so encouraging to hear people tell of how God's working in all of our lives. I think also, like, sometimes we can go through a lot of fear these days. You know, we look around, you know, there's stuff going on in people's finances, in people's health, in the world in general. You know, sometimes I watch some of the YouTube things that go on, and I see a lot of deceit going on in the media and in politics and all things, and there's this real aggressive spirit that wants to go against the truth. And sometimes I get a bit fearful of that. So I think this is a really strong spirit that's coming against truth. But I was reading the other day in Psalm 73 as well, where the psalmist says that he says, as for me, my foot had almost slipped because I envied
the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And he talks about how he's thinking about how some people go through life at ease and nothing goes wrong for them and they seem to have a good life. And he's thinking about these things and he's wrestling things and he's getting worried about it. He says that it troubled him. And then he said, until I entered the sanctuary of God. And then he understood that the time of the wicked is only a fleeting moment. It doesn't last long. And he said, as for me, you know, I'm still with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And as for me, you'll take me to be with you in glory. And he says, whom have I in heaven but you? And nothing that I desire on this earth compares to you. And I believe that God wants to set us free in all of those areas of our life, in our health, finances, in our ministering, in our vocation, in our jobs, in our relationships. But we have to, every day, because we can say, Lord, I put you first, but I think every day we have to make a decision that, yes, God, I know that the God I serve is the God who delivers. The God I serve is the one who heals. He is the one who provides. He is the one who blesses my relationships. But those things are not my God. He is my God, and every day I will make a decision to say that, God, you are my God. And I'm gonna rearrange my whole life and my thoughts to take them captive and say, you are my God and you alone will I serve. And a bit like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, you know, they said to the king that God is able to rescue us from this furnace that you're gonna throw us in. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow down to any foreign god. We'll serve the Lord God only. And I believe that when the church is really sold out into putting him first and making him the center, that God will start to pour out his power on the church.
Wow. I mean, how do you follow that? Isn't this been awesome? So God's going to pour out something upon our lives. He said the latter days will be greater than the former days. Amen. It says those who are hungry and thirsty and dry, lift your hands to the sky. It's beginning to rain. If I need rain to come into my life, if I need something to happen into my life, I've got to be proactive in the things of God. I believe so many Christians are so, get stagnant in the stagnant waters. But the reality is, if I need to see a flow happening in my life, I've got to get in the flow of the Spirit. But it's easy to actually fall into the flow of the flesh. Anyone ever been in the flow of the flesh? I. But I have got to die. There was a picture of that when Eli had two sons, Phinehas and Hophni, and they were against the Philistines, and the Philistines were winning the battle. And all of a sudden, the two sons of the high priest says, go and get the Ark of the Covenant. Go and get the Ark of the Covenant. They got the Ark of the Covenant, they brought it into the army of Israel. And all of a sudden there was a shout so loud that Philistines knew that God must have come into the midst of the army. And they said, the Bible says they feared and they trembled. And then all of a sudden this young man comes running to Eli. Eli was a big man, fat man. But he had already been cursed by the Lord, because the Lord says to him, you and your household and all your bloodline from generation to generation shall die. Because he allowed his sons to do what they wanted to do in the house. They brought a curse on the house. And so all of a sudden this young man come running for battle, and he says, and Eli says, how well did it go? He says, alas, Lord, they captured the ark, and Eli fell off the stool and broke his neck and he died. So the lineage stopped. That's something that speaks to me as well. Because you can lead your family and you can lead your lineage into blessing, or you can lead them into something else. I must be a man and a woman of, we must be men and women of truth at all times. All of a sudden, Eli fell down and dead. Phinehas' wife was in childbearing. She birthed through the pain of losing her husband. And the wet nurse, the old King James says, the wet nurse says, what shall you call the child? And she says, Ichabod, which means the glory of the Lord has departed. And she said, not so, we shall call him Kabod, the glory of the Lord. And the only difference between Kabod and Ichabod is one letter. I. You want the glory to flow, you've got to get rid of I. So the minute you get rid of I is the minute God can flow. You saw this morning three young men and one young lady, actually walk in the glory of the Lord. They were preaching the things of God, and they stepped out by what? A thing called faith. And God met them. Sometimes we just got to be people that walk by faith, not by sight. If I want to walk by faith, guess what? The eye then dies. Immediately God will start putting His finger on things in my life. He'll start cutting away. He'll start getting you in a place of being alone. Not lonely. Alone. God had to get Jacob in a place of alone so he could become the Israel. He says, what is your name? He says, my name is Jacob. He says, no, it's not. It's Israel, the Prince of God. And what did he do? God then touched his hip and changed his life forever. Changed his walk. See, when you get alone with God and he touches you, because sometimes you've got to wrestle. And when you're wrestling, it's the I in you that's wrestling the I am. It's the I wrestling the I am. And may I say this, if you want to cut it short, just give up, because you won't win. You won't win. Just roll over and die. And the minute he got up, God touched his hip and he walked. Changed his life forever. God changed him from Jacob, liar, cheat, supplanter, to the Prince of God. He hadn't changed his character yet. That's still a work in progress. Anyone got a work in progress happening in their life? Yeah, we all are. Because of the blood of Jesus, we're blood-stained. Do you know that? Do you know you're blood-stained? You know, if a butcher wants to clean his hands from and actually sterilize his hands, all he has to do is dip them in the blood of the animal. And his hands come out blood-stained, but he's germ-free. He's germ-free. Do you know the blood of Jesus? The blood of Jesus has washed me. I'm blood-stained. And he wants to keep me germ-free. Hallelujah. So, so you mean 10 minutes? I can go. I can do this. This is me. But you know what? I just want to say, guys, well done. Can I give him a hand this morning? Well done. I can do this because that's what I'm here for. But when I first started doing this, my first preach was heresy. It really was. It was heresy. I thought I had a revelation from God. It was from the pit. And all these ladies at the end of my little 5 minutes came up to me and she goes, wasn't quite right what you said. But you know what? I didn't feel threatened. I didn't feel embarrassed. They didn't embarrass me. They didn't threaten me. They loved on me. And they taught me through the word where I went wrong. And it changed me, challenged me. Amen. So, guys, keep the activation happening. Keep the activation happening. Go around and preach the trees. Whatever's standing still, preach the dog. I guarantee it'll like you. Whatever stands still, you preach to it. Amen. It says to preach to every living creature. But I just want to say, I feel God's just doing something in the house of the Lord. And, you know, the things out there are going strangely in. And there are. There's confusion in the earth. But God's not the earth of confusion. Amen. Stay in the Spirit and you'll have clarity. Stay in the Spirit and you'll have clarity. He's called you to be up, not beneath, above and not beneath. He called you to be the head, not the tail. Amen. Take your place. As a son and a daughter of God, take your place. And above all things, speak truth in love. Because only the truth will make this world free. Amen. God bless you. Thanks so much, guys.
Really appreciate it. Please stay for a cup of tea and a cup of coffee. That's wonderful. Amen.